Hey, this is Daniel. Thanks for listening to DIY Money. If you haven't already, be sure to give us a 5-star review on iTunes so your friends know that they can learn from the show. Now, enjoy the show. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to another edition of DIY Money.
DIY Money.
What's shaking, Logan?
Well, you know, we are on a financial podcast, and I feel like we don't talk enough about what's going on in the world, what's going on in the market. So, what's going on?
I'll tell you
why.
I'll tell you why. Because people, you know, I just got a note from somebody the other day. They were like, "Hey, you know, I logged into the DIY tribe. What, you know, what's going on there?" And I'm like, "Oh, new listener." Like, not that I don't every once in a while engage in the tribe, but I have not been as active. I've tried to kind of remotivate myself to get in there and get it going. But if you're new to the show and you listen, like, start 200 episodes, 300 episodes ago, there was a season where I was in the tribe like every day.
You were.
Yeah, I mean, I always, it's a good, as long as we keep it in general, the learning lesson or talking about markets, then when somebody listens 2 years from now and they go, "Oh, wow, yeah, that's good," you know, especially if we're in the midst of like a terrible bear market. Mm-hmm. So what's going on? Well, markets are back to new highs. I will say it's interesting you bring that up because not that long ago, like last fall, we went through a pretty significant pullback in the markets, and most people were getting very, very bearish. And we just made we didn't make a market call, but we just said, "Look, get on the soapbox a little bit. Patience. Right. You're a long-term investor. You're not a trader. You're not trying to just, you know, buy low, sell high within the next few days. Be patient. This could be the start of something more. It could be a small pullback, you know, et cetera, et cetera."
Right.
Well, here we are. Markets are at new highs. In fact, we're cutting this the morning that after NVIDIA, now the world's are close to the world's largest company.
Mm-hmm. I mean, right up there. I think it's right, like number
three,
two or three.
Yeah,
I think it's three.
I mean, Apple and Microsoft seem to go back and forth. I think Microsoft's gotten out of the top spot. Apple slipped, and maybe NVIDIA's right there. Had an unbelievable quarter. The stock's up like 15%, all-time highs. It's been up like 200% in the last year. I mean, it's just ridiculous. And I would say to people, the same thing I would say when things are not great is let's not get too excited.
Right.
Like, let's not get too emotional. We're certainly not high-fiving in the office. And
right.
We're not, you know, running around going, "Ooh, bull market." I mean, it's just another day. We're just, you know, kind of looking for opportunities and making sure people are allocated well and so forth. So, yes, at the very moment we cut this, markets are at highs. It's wonderful. Everybody likes to make money.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, I think the lessons are twofold. When markets are at lows, I was having this conversation with Morris, my running buddy, this morning. You can't be, you know, freaking out. Can't let it get. It's going to suck. Don't
right.
get me wrong. I love when people are like, "Oh, it's no big deal." I'm like, you clearly don't have money in the market because
right.
it's not fun. But the flip side is when it is at highs, we don't get overly excited. We're not, you know, leveraging the house to buy more stocks and any of that nonsense. Even keel. Yeah.
You have emotions, right? There's emotions regardless. Anything that comes with money has emotions to it, but whether we're talking about the markets or we're talking about a personal finance decision, you have to make sure you check those emotions with math, with discipline, and with kind of long-term trajectory and a long-term view. If you have a goal of retiring in 20 years, you shouldn't necessarily be super concerned about how the market's moving on a given day or on a given year even. So I think that's important to kind of bring up and always revisit.
I had a young man in one of my classes recently. They get a bird's eye view of, you know, my personal, and I'll be very candid. I mean, I wrote a book about trading, so I'm not necessarily a trader anymore, but I would say I'm a position trend, you know, follower. And you know, I mean, there are times I have a high conviction on an individual stock or position, and I take large,
right,
you know, large shares of it and, you know, ride it up or ride it down or whatever it may be. And this one particular student, he's been in there multiple semesters. He's kind of I like to say he's addicted to the class, which is great, but he's been in there multiple times, not because he failed. He's done it by desire, but he asked me, he's watched me ride this one stock up 100%, not NVIDIA, but a different one. He's watched me ride it up 100% and real money, like not just a few hundred shares. And he said to me the other day, he's like, "Why would you not just sell like right now?
Get back in there at once and sell.
He's in it. He's invested
right,
in it.
Right.
And he probably, I know him, he's probably got some shares that he's followed along, whatever. But I'm like, listen, I you know, it to me, it's on paper. It's not real yet. I mean, it's real, but it's not. I could make it real with a push of a button. But my view of this company is not just where it is today. My view of this company is where it could be in 5 years. And I think it'll pull back. You know, like it'll pull back from here. So I'm easily okay to give back a large percentage of this current gain for the hope of a much larger gain. Well, he was just like, I don't get it. And I was like, look. 23 years, actually probably 30 years, right? When you factor in all trading and so forth, 30 years. Did not come overnight. Many a times I spent money I didn't have on gains that were unrealized because I got emotional on the upside. And many times I sold way too early and watched. You've watched it 4 years. You've watched me sell stocks early. We look back and go, oh my, we had that at X number of dollars a share. Right. Anyways. All right, let's do some housekeeping. This episode and every episode sponsored by Jewel Financial. Visit us on the web at Jewel, that's J-O-U-L-E, financial.com. Fun fact, Jewel is the unit of measurement of energy. Mm-hmm. Energy. We provide the power to help you achieve your goals.
I like it.
Send our questions, podcast@DIYMoney.org. That's podcast@DIYMoney.org. And always check us out on the social. That's DIY Money Podcast, wherever you check out your social media and get your endorphin fix. All right, let's go right to the questions. We got one from Jake today. Jake, what do you got?
DIY!
Hey, DIY Money Team, this is Jake from Wisconsin. My question is in regard to charitable giving. My wife and I are both 29, but we are both focused on giving back. With my current career and income trajectory, we want to do everything we can to maximize the reach of our charitable giving in the future. Quint, I've heard you mention that you and your wife make use of a tax-advantaged charitable giving account. I'm curious about the advantages and disadvantages of that versus giving in the traditional sense, receiving a 1040, Schedule A, etc. Also, what does that process look like as far as actually giving money or investments directly out of that account? I'm looking forward to hearing your thoughts on this. Thanks for all you guys do.
Okay, Jake, this is one of those things that you've got to figure out. Like, I feel like it's not good enough to go, it's too confusing. I'm not saying Jake's doing this, but I run into people who say this. Ugh, that seems like a lot of work. It's too confusing. I'm not going to do it.
Yep.
That's a shame. Because once you figure it out, it's super easy. They make it so easy for you.
And what we're talking about is a donor-advised fund.
That's exactly right.
That's what Jake is talking about and speaking of.
He is, but you can also, many organizations, if they are sort of sophisticated at all, mm-hmm. would be happy to take in-kind stock. Like, that's a no-brainer, a church or a nonprofit.
So the basis of it is, instead of giving money out of your bank account, you're giving stocks.
Let's break it down. A donor-advised fund is an account that is set up that is typically held at a custodian such as Schwab or Fidelity. There's also independent organizations out there that do it, such as the National Christian Foundation, and you probably have a local branch in your area. We have one that's Kentucky Christian Foundation. It's part of the National Christian Foundation. My wife and I have a donor-advised fund at Schwab. We opened that online. It took maybe 3 minutes. It's underneath, you know, your same account structure. You're not like setting up an entity. You're not getting a new EIN number.
It's not opening up an IRA or an individual.
Same exact thing. Yeah. When that is open, it's basically consider it a bucket that anything moved into that bucket is like giving to a 501c3. So I could literally move money, cash, from a Schwab account,
swing,
or my bank account for that matter, right to this account. So let's say I had $1,000 that I wanted to give, but I didn't know where I wanted to give it right now, but it's December 30th, and I'm $1,000 close to my, you know, to going over on the standard deduction to get an itemized deduction. Now, I probably lost about half of you in that moment. I'll let Logan break that down a little bit. If Allie was here, she'd probably be doing this question. She's out sick today. But nonetheless, it's December 30th, and I'm like, I need a $1,000 donation. and I don't know where I want to give it. Well, I could move $1,000 into that account, and the minute I do, Jake, I get a it goes on my receipt. And at the end of the year, this donor advised fund, it's underneath Schwab Charitable, their arm, Schwab Charitable arm, they send me a receipt. It includes everything I've moved into that account over the year, including that $1,000. Now, let's say that that took me above my standard deduction, so now I'm itemizing, which means I then take that receipt and all the other things that I have that I could be using on my itemized deduction list. I bring it to my CPA. I get the deduction. Okay. Now it's January or February, March, April, May, June, whatever. And I get news of a friend of mine going on a mission trip through their church. This is a caveat. You can't just give to a person. You have to give to a 501c3. And they need to raise $1,000. And they come to me and they're like, hey, you know, would you support our mission trip to blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, I would love to. As long as I can give to your church, because I can't give to you directly. And they go, oh, no, of course. It's a tax-deductible donation. So I go on to my donor advised fund. And I'm now going to give a grant. I'm going to go in there and there's a little button called grant. And I'm going to look for the nonprofit, the church. It's going to probably come up immediately. If not, I might have to type in some information. What's their EIN number? You know, most nonprofits are already in there. And once you type it in once, if you give to an organization, it's already in there. I click a button and that $1,000 goes out to that church. Now, I don't get a new deduction. That deduction already happened. Remember, December 30th. Okay. That's the logistics of the giving component. So why do I talk about it with stock? Okay. We opened this very podcast talking about the young man in my class who asked about my stock that has gone up in significant value. I am not selling any. However, it has gone up over like 150%, and I'd probably be an idiot if I didn't take a little bit off the table.
Massive gain, right?
But I don't want to pay the taxes right now because I do genuinely feel I want to hold this stock for a very long time. Every 2 weeks, I get a paycheck. And every 2 weeks, my wife and I tithe out of that paycheck. Now, normally when that paycheck comes in, we just write a check or we go onto our church's website and we do a direct deposit or whatever it is. But now I'm logging into my account. I'm going to my donor advised fund. I'm selecting a transfer. They make this so easy. I'm going to select shares of this particular company. So let's call it $1,000 worth of this stock. I move it into the donor advised fund. I get the value of the amount that moves in. So if it's $1,000 worth of stock, it goes on the timestamp as $1,000 as a donation. It sells it immediately in the donor advised fund. Now here's the trick. Let's say I bought that particular stock for $500. It appreciated to $1,000. I move it over. I get the $1,000 deduction. I sell it. I do not pay capital gains tax on the difference between the $500 and the $1,000.
And what's key is then the money that you and your wife saved for your tithe that you put into the bank account or whatever you normally do, you take that $1,000 you were going to give to the church anyways, and then you go back and buy your stock again.
That's correct. I go and I put that back into the account. So again, instead of writing the check out of my bank account to the church, I transfer that to my bank account where I just moved $1,000 worth of stock, and I could do one of two things. I could rebuy the stock and lower my basis, or I could diversify. I've chosen to diversify. And whatever. Six one ways, half dozen the other, but I choose to diversify. Now, I'm going to do that every 2 weeks. I'm going to do that every 2 weeks because it's a way I'm giving the amount, and ultimately I'm also reducing my tax liability because if I go to sell those shares, I pay a long-term capital gains tax on them, thankfully, not short-term, long-term, and I still get the deduction on the gift. Now, because it was an immediate thing, I moved the stock in, it sold it immediately. Literally the next day I went on and I granted that money to our church. So I went in and granted the money, boom, it's done. Now, let's think about it. If you might say, well, why do, like, that's a lot of work. Okay, let's use that example. It's almost exact. $1,000 of stock that was bought for, say, $500. Mm-hmm. I gift the $1,000 to the church, so boom, they get the $1,000. I get the deduction for $1,000. That's great. The difference between $500 to $1,000 is 20% cap gain, 5% for state. It's actually 4.5, but let's call it 5. That's $125 in taxes. Yep. I avoided.
Yep.
If I do that every 2 weeks on this particular stock, that's $250 a month. $3,000 in that year that I'm avoiding taxes.
No, we shall see. Yes, we shall see.
Now, that's what we do right now every 2 weeks. Let's say that there's a big chunk I want to give, right? So a big chunk comes in, whether it's a bone, I don't know, whatever. Whatever it could be, I get a big chunk. And then I look at my positions and I go, wow, I've held this S&P 500 stock or 500 ETF or whatever, or the Qs or whatever it might be, and it has a huge gain.
Right.
And I really, I don't care about diversifying per se because I like the Qs or I like the S&P. I'm going to hold that forever. But what an opportunity to take some of that, move it over, and now I am lowering my basis. I'm going back into something like that. I could have lost you in it all, Jake, and there's some nuances I'll let Logan talk about, but learn it.
Yeah.
It's powerful.
It's definitely powerful, and I want to put a couple of caveats in. When we're talking about this strategy that Quint is taking money from a stock and he's moving it over to a donor-advised fund, make sure you do your research and you really understand it before you go in it. That account that he's moving the stock from is a taxable investment account. So at this time, we're not talking about taking money out of a 401k or an IRA in order to do this strategy and move over and give stock. That's not what we're talking about. The other benefit to this is Quint talked about an itemized deduction. You may not know this, but if you do your TurboTax right now or you go to an accountant and do your taxes, there is an overwhelming majority of people that file their taxes that just do the standard deduction. So the money you give to a nonprofit during a year or the money you give to your church during the year or whatever it is, you are likely not getting any tax benefit whatsoever from giving that money at this point after the new tax laws that went into effect. So if you're not getting an itemized deduction, this is a way in order to get that kind of this is a way to get a benefit from giving money to a nonprofit throughout the year to get a tax benefit. So it's crucial and important to do that. Remember, most people are just doing the standard deduction. You have to actually be over that amount in order to itemize. So that leads me to another strategy. I don't want to go down the rabbit hole too much, but if you wanted to give a big portion, like Quint was talking about, maybe you wanted to give to a particular organization or you just wanted to make sure you're getting the most tax benefit. Sometimes we have people that sell a business or they do something like that where they want to get the most tax benefit in a given year. We have them front load the amount that they want to give over the next, let's call it 5 years, into a donor advised fund using appreciated stock. So maybe they have an S&P 500 fund that has gone from $50,000 to $100,000. They give $10,000 a year, but they're going to put a full $100,000 into that donor advised fund and front load their giving for the next 10 years. Remember, you can grant the money to the nonprofit organization at any time. So you can wait over that time period. You could put it in a money market fund and just let that money sit and then give it over time, or you could give it all to an organization in one foul sweep. But there's some different tax strategies there. This is a really, really important one, especially for folks that have taxable investments. So if you have a taxable investment account at all, you should look into this strategy, look into what a donor advised fund is, make sure you understand it because it is very beneficial. Now, I'll mention one other thing for some of our older listeners. If you are past the age of 70 and a half, we're not talking about taxable money anymore. We're talking about IRA money or 401k money. You can also have an additional tax benefit for your giving that's called a qualified charitable distribution or a QCD, which means you take money from your retirement account and you give that directly to the 501c3. It cannot go to a donor advised fund. So in this case, if you're doing a qualified charitable distribution, that money goes straight from your investment account, your retirement account, to the charity of your choosing. What does that do? One, that can count towards your required minimum distribution if you're past age 73, which means you're not paying taxes on money that would come to you. And two, it's a way to give money and get a tax benefit. So that's another strategy that can be implemented. Again, learn about it, research it, because if you're charitably minded, there's a lot of tax strategies out there. This is one and two of the biggest ones that we see.
Learn it. Know it. Live it.
Only thing I'll add, it's a nuance, but Jake, you always, in my opinion, want to be looking at giving the long-term cap gain appreciated stock, because if you have a short-term cap gain, you only get the basis as the deduction. So if, for example, I had held that position for 364 days, not 365 or beyond, I would only, and I moved it in $1,000, I would only get the $500 as my contribution. The minute it hits long-term, you get the full long-term, or you get the full amount as your deduction going into the donor advised fund. Great question. We probably could do an entire webinar on this thing. It is, in my opinion, one of the very most powerful tools for those that are investors and charitably minded at the same time, and you have to understand it because it's too good to just kind of pass off because it's complex. Hopefully, we've provided some value, Jake. If not, reach out. I'm happy to jump on a call with you and help you further. But you know, go down the rabbit hole, and I think you'll be glad you did. All right, all Jake did was sent us an audio question to podcast@diymoney.org. That's podcast@diymoney.org. Since we used it on the show, we'll give him a $25 Amazon gift card. It was a great question, packed full of stuff we could chat about. He also kept it to a minute or less, so boom, there it is. All right, friends, remember, the secret to wealth is pretty simple. Live on less than you make. Invest the rest and do so for a very long time. Make it a great one.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the show. If you want your question aired on the show, be sure to send that to us and you'll get a $25 Amazon gift card.
This show is for entertainment and educational purposes only and is not intended as personal financial advice. Before making any financial decision, please do your homework and consult a financial advisor as needed.